question would naturally arise why an attorney or an employer would be concerned with domestic violence issues, and it isn't immediately obvious. So we can go ahead to the next one. Domestic violence is a significant issue to employers, to their workers, and it is an enormous cost driver in business today. And you're going to see some numbers that are absolutely staggering. The more I got into it, the more surprising it actually was. People think domestic violence is battering or spousal abuse, but there are many more dimensions to domestic violence. It doesn't always involve spouses, and in fact, as everybody has mentioned before, a much more descriptive and appropriate term is intimate partner violence, and even that is a little too specific. It can arise in dating relationships, it can arise in non-marital relationships, it can arise among family members of those directly involved, and tragically in the workplace, it can often affect innocent co-workers and bystanders when the domestic violence acts out in the workplace. You normally think of domestic violence as just the black eye, the bruised arm, a broken bone, but it is also verbal abuse, belittling, denigration, threats, stalking, which often manifests in the workplace, constant phone calls at work, damage to property, harm to pets, and in many cases, threats to property. In the workplace, it's often marked by signs of financial violence, keeping the victim economically enslaved, poorly groomed, constantly apologizing, socially isolated, not wanting people from work even to know where they live, or, heaven forbid, to call them at home for fear of angering the abuser. This really becomes important in the workplace because acts of domestic violence rarely stay at home. One study reported that nearly three-quarters of employed battered women were harassed by their abuser while at work. In a six-year period ending in 1990, an average of 1.7 million acts of what we would call domestic violence were committed against victims at the workplace. And homicide was the second leading cause of workplace death among women in 2000, which is the last year that figures were available. More than 1 million women are stalked each year, and of those, over 250,000 say they miss time from work because of the stalking. So it impacts on productivity, it impacts on coworkers. 25% of people who were victims of domestic violence in 1997 said that they arrive late at work or miss entire days of work because of acts of violence. As you can see, the magnitude of the problem is huge. Every day, nearly 2,500 people are victims of an act of domestic violence. Over 4 million women are beaten or abused each year. And the American Institute on Domestic Violence estimates an even higher number. They put it at 5.5 million women. And this is just women we're talking about. Remember, women are not the only victims of domestic violence. Men often are victimized as well. The cost in medical expenses attributable to domestic violence approaches $6 billion. And over $4 billion of this is in direct medical care paid for by employers or through group health or workers' compensation programs. Estimates of lost productivity due to domestic violence are more than $1.8 billion each year. Just in the direct cost of lost productive time, more than 8 million working days are lost. That's 32,000 full-time equivalence jobs. Now, you know, you look at how people jump up and down and do a happy dance when there are 8,000 jobs added in a reporting month. We are losing 32,000 full-time equivalence jobs just to lost work due to domestic violence. Studies of battered women workers, actually battered workers of all genders, 96% experience problems related to the workplace. 74 are harassed during the working day. They get telephone calls, emails, and increasingly cell phone calls, text messaging. They miss full days from work. 54% miss full days from work because of court appointments, medical appointments, school appointments, cleaning up the mess caused by the domestic violence. And if you ever want to figure just what it's actually costing, this is an outstanding descriptive instrument that's put out by the Texas Health Organization to allow employers to calculate the cost in their workplace due to domestic violence. Domestic violence presents itself in the workplace through disruption of business, damage to the reputation of the business, loss of employee morale, and something that always gets the employer's attention, their bottom line. Workers' compensation is a no-fault indemnity program, but you have to understand that a specific intent violent act by a spouse against an employee victim while they're in the workplace may be covered under the employer's workers' compensation if the nature of their job exposed them to a unique risk. If a coworker is injured by somebody coming and acting out in the workplace, that is on the employer's nickel. And even a successful defense is going to be very costly to the employer. Even if the act does not take place in the workplace, what you find is that domestic violence can manifest as an asserted claim of injury from work. So it is really important that occupational doctors and attorneys in litigated cases be sensitive to these issues. An assembly worker who is battered and sustains frequent defensive wounds on her hands or upper extremities may legitimately think that a carpal tunnel syndrome injury or rotator cuff tear is the result of overuse at work. Injuries that in an autopsy would be called a defensive wound are routinely missed in occupational medicine, and it should trigger increased suspicion and enhanced screening. Clinics must be prepared to make appropriate referrals to appropriate service agencies. A supervisor who is threatened with the loss of her children or with physical violence, even if she's never even actually touched, may have organic symptoms which she believes are due to stress of work or criticism by a supervisor. A worker whose abuser refuses to allow them a checking account, money, access to the copay to go get medical treatment, many times out of fear that, as the previous speaker said, the clinic will screen for this and the acts of abuse will be detected and disclosed. Their only source of medical attention may be through the workplace. And rarely is this done in absolute isolation. Usually there are warning signs, just as with school shootings, just as with other violent acts. Typically when you go back and revisit the situation, there were signs that people either missed or didn't want to get into. The occupational medicine provider and the attorney has to be encouraged, if not forced, to ask focused questions about possible abuse. Asking about a history of car accidents or slip and fall injuries or sports injuries, which is typically the way the questions present, is simply not good enough. There is a vast qualitative difference between being in a car accident and the car crashing while you're wrestling the abuser for control of the steering wheel. A fall on a wet floor is qualitatively different than a fall when being pushed down a flight of stairs. Specific focused questions should be part of any history, whether occupational medicine or legal. It is not enough to ask if a person is beaten or if they are a victim or if they are abused, because denial is a very potent force in this equation. You have to hit on the specifics and use established screening instruments. Some of them are as simple as HITS, which asks four questions. Have you ever been hurt, insulted, threatened? Has anyone ever screamed at you? Just that is enough to detect possibility of domestic violence. And then the important thing is to have resource information available at work and at the clinic. You can't just give them a brochure. You can't just give them a phone number, because the abusers often are prevented from even having access to a telephone at home. Many times they don't have a cell phone. Computer use is monitored. Social access is limited. It is very much a disease that entails control. Purses, pockets, briefcases, even trunks of cars are routinely searched by the abuser. So it's important to have posters available in the workplace that people can refer to, with phone numbers prominently displayed, and to have access to a computer or a telephone at work where they can make appropriate contacts. The evaluation of this program becomes very simple. Identification of a case and the referral in and of itself removes the element of denial. Even if the person isn't ready to accept the referral, the knowledge is there, and the knowledge itself is potent. From the employer's point of view, the evaluation outcome that is of most interest to them: reduced group health costs, reduced workers' compensation costs, reduced absenteeism, increased productivity. And to overcome the objection that this is prying, that you're digging into sensitive areas that are none of their business, I mean, the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force has taken the position that asking questions about abuse is justifiable because of these factors. Several of the most august professional organizations have recommended screening for domestic violence. And lately, the Joint Council for the Accreditation of Healthcare Organizations has mandated that healthcare facilities and hospitals routinely screen for domestic violence. You know, in summary, it is effective, it is cost-effective, it is beneficial, and clearly screening policies make sense in terms of a safer workplace, a safer and healthier workforce, and a stronger bottom line for the employer. If you want any of the references, they were on the handout that was that first slide, which is available on the conference server. Thank you.